Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers are processing still the robbery in Boston and will play in Brooklyn without Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcast, it's always free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube, where I believe we set a record for comments on Sunday's bonus show, is where you can go to see the show and participate in a really growing, fast growing, and very angry set of Lakers fans who are all reacting to games, communicating with us, communicating with each other, and in the case again of Sunday's bonus show, venting over what happened in the TD Bank North Garden thing or whatever they call that now. So we're going to talk about that. We got the news in Indiana about Miles Turner signing a very unusual contract extension with the Indiana Pacers, what that might mean for the Lakers and the trade market going forward. So we'll do that. But we got to still start, Andy, on Saturday's game, of course, before I tell you, or after I tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match on up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. It's fair to say the sting has not worn off of that one yet.
No, and the ramifications of it might be even more magnified, knowing that LeBron and AD are both out for tonight's game in Brooklyn against the Nets. I'm hoping this was them just making a preemptive decision about which end of the back-to-back. They've got Monday tonight against the Nets, Tuesday against the Knicks, and they just decided, especially this close to overtime, this is the game we're going to sit LeBron and AD, and that hopefully it's
right.
And
if you're going to do it, it does make sense to sit both of them at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. But the referees, by the way, getting back to the anger towards the debacle in Boston Saturday night, the biggest robbery in Boston since Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, and that crew took down Fenway in the town. The referees, Brian, issued an apology on Twitter at official NBA refs. Like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and it is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be. Tell you what most Laker fans feel about that.
Boo frickin' who.
Yeah.
Look,
no thank you, referees.
I am glad the NBA is transparent. I am glad they quickly admitted they made a mistake. I'm glad the referees feel bad about it. I am not one of these people who feel like Jason Goebel is on the take because he is the amount of internet rumors. I don't know what's true, what's not. He is a cop from Boston, apparently, and many people think he's on the take. I don't think that's the case. I feel like this game is incredibly difficult to officiate. I feel like even when these guys do a good job,
it wasn't almost that difficult with that one.
No, that particular play was actually one of the a gimme.
It's actually one of the plays that referees dream about. Like, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
That
but like even on the PGA Tour, Andy, you sometimes see a guy miss a one footer. Like, it happens every once in a while. It's like I'm not taking the conspiracy theory to the ends of the earth here. What I think is frustrating about it and annoying for Lakers fans is, like, what do I do with that information? If, you know, especially for the Lakers themselves, because it is now a trend of things that even if you are willing to dissect all of the 2-minute reports and say, hey, you know, yeah, last second plays have gone against the Lakers, but those 2-minute reports show that there are calls either way. even if you want to, you know, dissect that stuff that way and caveat it, the Lakers have had an enormous run of unfortunate timing, if you want to say it like that, with these last minute, calls. And for a team that has been trying to claw its way out of a gigantic self-inflicted hole that they put themselves in at the beginning of the year, it's really brutal. It's really, really brutal, because even if they get two of those games, instead of four games under 500, they're 500, I believe, if you do the math there. So if you get two of those games back, like, it's the margins, like LeBron said after the game, are so slim to, it's hard enough to do this stuff yourself, to have it taken away, the opportunity taken away, is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned before the self-inflicted wounds, and that is something that Darvin Ham has talked about all season. And look, there have been self-inflicted wounds by the players. There have been self-inflicted wounds by Darvin Ham at times. And I know that is a topic that's going to come up in this show, because that in getting into a lot of fan reaction, whether what we see on Twitter at Cam Brothers or what people are saying on the YouTube channel, there are a lot of people pointing some fingers in Darvin's direction as well. There are self-inflicted wounds that come with the roster construction of this offseason leading to where we are now. But those are all things that are to varying degrees within the Lakers' control. And they can only point to themselves. And the stuff that you can only point to yourselves, as much as it may piss you off, it's at least easier to live with. Mm-hmm. The stuff where you are pointing the finger at somebody else, that's harder. It just is.
I don't know what the remedy is. I'm not sure there's a good one. Hopefully the NBA looks at this. In some ways, it's beneficial for the game that so much of this has happened with the Lakers. If Charlotte had been screwed out of four games in a month, no one would notice. No one would care. No disrespect to the Orlando Magic. Or even pick, you know what, if the Kings, who are a great story this year, had a couple games taken away from them on bad last night, nobody would notice. Nobody would care. But the Lakers being front and center of this, I really do think could be a part, you know, a major catalyst for the NBA figuring out something. And the solutions are not easy, or else the NBA, I think, would have come up with them. It is a progressive league that's willing to experiment with rules and willing to try things and willing to do stuff. But the mechanics of replay in a sport that does not stop, that you don't want to have stop for, you know, because it ruins the flow of the game. Unless, you know, nobody wants the last 5 minutes of a game to take 3 hours. We've had that problem.
Yeah.
It's a really difficult problem to address, but I think the Lakers being at the center of this will push the NBA to find some kind of attempt to address it this offseason.
Because let's be clear about something. If the league is going to rig things involving the Lakers, they're going to rig it so the Lakers are in the playoffs, because that is what's best for the Correct. League. And at the end of the day, I mean, I know we've seen like hashtag basketball reasons, hashtag never forget, but that was the owners colluding, I think, about one particular thing, Chris Paul trade, right on the heels of this, you know, CBA lockout that was all about trying to level the playing field and, you know, in their minds at least, level the playing field between the big market teams and, you know, the have-nots in the heartland, I guess. And 4 hours after the lockout ends, Chris Paul is going to the Lakers. They just should have waited a day, but whatever. At the end of the day, all these owners around the league, they want their money, and they know more times than not, getting your money is having the Lakers in the playoffs. So
it's not. There's no conspiracy to keep the Lakers.
No,
down,
it's incompetence.
Out, all that stuff.
A conspiracy is at least sort of cool. Incompetence sucks.
What's that? What? What's the expression? Do not attribute to like conspiracy what can easily be explained by incompetence or something like that. Let's talk a little bit more about LeBron and AD missing the game, because like this loss is, you know, the whole context of LeBron and AD missing Monday night's game in Brooklyn is different if they win that game in Boston. The whole context of how you look at the rest of the road trip is different. So we'll do that, and we'll look at some of Darvin's choices going back to Saturday's loss, and then we'll eventually get to Miles Turner. A lot still coming up. We'll get to it next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you've not signed up for Prize Picks, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer the superstar players. They offer the bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players, predict whether they will notch more or less than their Prize Picks stats projections, and you can win up to 25 times your money. And Prize Picks offers projections on everything from NFL to women's college basketball, even disc golf. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. And first-time users, you can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. We actually heard from one of our commenters who did a Prize Picks thing and won huge. So forgot this commenter's name, but congratulations to that person. Hopefully they use the promo code Locked On. Again, do not forget to use Locked On, the promo code, at the sign up for the instant match. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
Okay, so Andy, the Lakers wake up Monday morning. They're still well within contact of, you know, a lot of things in the Western Conference. And, you know, all is not lost, even at 23-27 with staring down the barrel of four really difficult games remaining in this road trip. But they are 2 games behind Utah for the 10 spot, the magical 10 spot. You got to get to the 10 spot. That is the bare minimum of what must happen. And for the Lakers to do that, they have to jump over Portland and Oklahoma City. The Thunder being a problem. They've won 7 out of 10, and they are going in a direction that is annoying if you're the Lakers.
They're a good team, man. The Thunder are a good team.
They're developing. That talent is sort of really coming together and coalescing. The Jazz are 2 games in front of them. Then it's a big mush between 6 and 9. Golden State, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, and the Suns all statistically tied, basically. Lakers 2.5 games behind those 4 teams, and they're 3 games only. The Lakers are only 3 games behind Minnesota in the 5 spot. So again, all is not lost, but there comes a point, you know, Minnesota starting to play very well. The Clippers have rallied and jumped from like 9th to 4th, like 3 days just from playing.
I mean,
like
the West is so bunched up. The movement, the swings can be crazy.
Right. So, you know, the teams are not going to cooperate, though, for the rest of the year. Some of these teams are too good. You know, New Orleans is, you know, going to get healthy pretty soon, or has. But, you know, so theoretically, New Orleans could get it back together. The Suns should get healthier and get it back. You know, they can't rely on the conference to keep them in it all year. And at the same time, though, they have to make these choices around the health of Anthony Davis and LeBron, because while it would be really rough to just kind of throw a game or, you know, hope you get another miracle like they got against Miami when they sat everybody, if those guys aren't healthy or aren't playably healthy, you have 0% chance of making this big jump that you need to make over 5 or 6 teams potentially to get a decent spot in the play-in even. So they have to do it. They have to sit these guys tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, and it's at the risk of stating the totally obvious why you don't want to start a season 2-10. And you know, you combine that with the injuries that they've had, you know, AD missing like half the season, LeBron missing a few games, Lonnie Walker out for a while, Austin Reeves getting reevaluated on Thursday, hopefully towards playing at some point on this road trip. But these are all the things that you've been contending with, not even getting to, Brian.
Austin Reeves looking good.
Some of the issues that can come with a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
And the learning curve that Darvin Ham is negotiating himself, things that we've noticed and certainly things that fans have noticed and shared angrily with us.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, like, you know, there were moments where not a three-guard lineup, Andy, but the three-guard lineup was playing in Saturday's game, and people were very acutely aware of it. Some of the anger I saw on Twitter started to bleed into any three-guard lineup. And I get why. The evil lineup of Schroeder, Westbrook, and Beverly played actually very little. They, you know, they overlapped, I think, in both halves, but for only about 90 seconds, I think, before somebody else was subbed in. But there was that. There was Darvin's decision not to foul up three. The Lakers have been in this position a bunch of times over the course of the year. Darvin does not foul. And a lot of coaches, by the way, agree with him. They do not foul in this situation. And a lot of fans were ticked off about that. I actually thought it was the right decision, and it should have worked, except Patrick Beverly, for all of his heroics on the other side of the ball and the amazing putback and whatever, committed a catastrophically bad foul on Jaylen Brown. Even at the Lakers forced that three-pointer from Horford. Weird rebound goes to Brown. Let him put the ball in the basket. Go get fouled. Make your free throws on the other end. And you know, they have a one Hail Mary left or whatever it is. And then Darvin's decision to put Westbrook back in the game in the overtime, which was probably the most controversy of all of these, given the high-profile nature of it and the fact that it's Russell Westbrook and the fact that Russ had a couple visible Westbrook-y-type, you know, missed shots and awkward-looking plays and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the fouling thing goes, I don't have a strong opinion on it one way or the other, although what I would say is just I would like to see Darvin seemingly more open to going the foul route only because the non-fouling route has continually not worked out for the Lakers, whether because of what's gone on along the way, whether you agree with it as a philosophy, whatever. I'm just saying it has not been working. So I would like, the results haven't been there. So I would like to at least see openness towards something else. But I don't, again, I don't have a strong opinion of it.
Yeah, we can have a debate about it. I understand what you're saying. I have a counterpoint to that, but it's not a rabbit hole worth going down right now. Even the thing about putting Russ in the game in the overtime, which I think we can talk about, like, that was a controversial choice and one that I'm not sure I'd have done, but I understood at least the need for change. It's like where I think Darvin Ham and the staff are most culpable is the fact that no matter what the combination is, no matter what the lineup choices they use, no matter any of the execution in crunch time moments remains bad. There are, you know, it's not Darvin's fault that Patrick Beverly fouled Jaylen Brown. It's not Darvin's fault that they took way too long to foul, you know, Boston and put him on the line. You know, those are player execution things. But the overall lack of execution is on Darvin and the staff because it's something that's lasted all year.
Yeah. As far as Russ and putting him into overtime after he basically was cold for 14 minutes and then they put him in for the last three of overtime where he did a couple good things, he did a couple bad things, but you know, it being Russ, the bad things are going to be magnified a lot. In a lot of ways, I think it was just unfair to Russ because Russ being sat for that long was Darvin saying, you were playing wild and out of control and untrustworthy in this game, which was true. Russ really was bad in this game. He's had a bad few games in a row. I don't know if he is distracted by the trade deadline coming up, you know, maybe seeing the trade for Hachimura and wondering if more is coming, or he's just in a slump, whatever. But he has the last few games not just played, he's not just played badly though. His decision making has been bad. His shot selection's been bad. You know, he's done a few, he'll have good moments. And I thought in this game against Boston, like he was really trying to be active defensively, but he was not reliable.
Which, by the way, is I think why part of the reason he was put back in as opposed to, say, Lonnie Walker, who was certainly much better offensively. I saw a lot of people put it saying, like, you know, why not Christie right there? I'm like, did he barely played. Okay, and
To set the table for this really quickly, it was Troy Brown who was taken out. And Troy, correct. I thought the first half, I thought Troy actually played very well, particularly defensively. But as the game went along, he was struggling more and more defensively. And offensively, he was just off the whole game. But I think was good enough defensively that it didn't necessarily matter. Darvin tried Rui Hachimura for a few plays. Rui got cooked defensively a couple of times. I thought that in the game he played well enough that Darvin could have considered just going with Rui, particularly because this is somebody that you're looking to carve out a bigger role. But the problem is he's not just new on this team in terms of having Darvin's trust. He's new with his teammates. And, you know, the type of synergy that you need in, you know, these high leverage moments in overtime, a new guy in there who isn't just like, you know, a high end, you know, all-star or close caliber player, which Hachimura isn't.
Or Matisse Thybulle, who's an all-defensive caliber player,
right?
Like, which also Hachimura isn't.
Right, a guy like that can be tougher to feel confident about dropping in. I think he should have maybe considered Lonnie in more, because if nothing else, they were trying to score, and Lonnie was having a pretty good game offensively. Mm-hmm. You mentioned like Max Christie. As much as that would be, you know, a tough situation to drop Christie into, I actually think, if memory serves, he's done something pretty similar to like that with Christie early in the year. But I would actually rather, in certain respects, and again, Russ was not the problem in overtime at all. I just want to make this clear before people start taking this as, Russ was not the problem.
But it's, people are going to be angry that we'd even semi-defend Russ too. So
in certain respects, I would rather, I think it would have been more fair to Russ, if nothing else, and maybe a better process, to even go with like Max Christie or a JTA who hadn't played.
Neither one of those guys had played.
Right. I'm saying they had not played, but you can at least be trying something different as opposed to being putting in a guy who you'd essentially been punishing to that point.
Yeah, I mean, you don't play him when he's not doing the thing that you need from him, and you put him back in when you think you can do the things that you need. I mean, I'm glad Darvin didn't play him. We actually were texting about this, like, as the fourth quarter was going on, and we were like, he's not going to put Russ back in. Like, which was the right play. It's just like, again,
it really speaks to just how much they miss Austin Reeves. Because if Reeves were healthy, he'd be the guy and things would feel more solidified.
And in these high leverage things, it's like, again, even with the addition of Hachimura, you know, even with Russ in theory playing more constructively than he did last year, and all of these things, there are still holes in how this thing is put together and a lot of Sophie's choices that have to be made. In trying to sort of define what your lineup is going to be in important moments. There are all these trade-offs that they have to make. Speaking of trades, one the Lakers probably won't be making is for Miles Turner, who signed an extension in Indiana. We'll give you the details about that and whether or not it really does close the door on the Lakers acquiring this excellent, excellent center from Indiana or something else. Do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who'll do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes. It is awful, actually, working on your taxes. And file them for you so you can do not taxes, whatever else. You can gaze at things that are not taxes. You can taste a home-cooked meal
Play Mario Kart.
Yeah, play some Mario Kart. Like, you can get in a car and ride into the sunset as opposed to feeling like you are riding into your taxes. Just with the TurboTax 100% expert guarantee, and an expert will do your taxes from start to finish so you can relax. It feels great to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products. Only a video meeting while an expert does your taxes is required. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Okay, so Miles Turner and Buddy Hield have been on the Lakers radar all year long. They were reportedly very close to becoming Lakers before the beginning of the season, but Rob Pelinka pulled out of that deal, or, you know,
or the Pacers
on it, or the Pacers. There was apparently close to being done, and somebody got cold feet, and certainly a lot of reports saying the Lakers decided they wanted to hold off before spending those two first rounders to bring Hield and Turner to LA, firing essentially the last two shots they had available to them in terms of using picks. So it would have been Westbrook obviously going in that deal along with the two picks for Hield and Turner. It seemed at the time, in their defense, that the option of that trade might be around a little longer because Pacers weren't supposed to be very good. So the idea is you could revisit this. Pacers didn't play ball because they actually played ball. And they've been pretty good this year. And Miles Turner now has signed an extension with the Pacers. It's an unusual setup, but it's worth $60 million to him. 17 of which comes this season. It's basically the Pacers are using up all their cap money that they still have this year and giving it to Miles Turner, and then it adds two more years to it. So first and foremost, it does seem like a commitment to the Pacers. Technically speaking, I guess, though, Andy, the Pacers still could trade Turner this year. It just doesn't seem like they're going to.
Turner is trade eligible, but also the consensus is, unless something really odd happens, he's not getting moved before the deadline. Like, that people would seem to be very surprised now if Turner was moved. So it seems like, for all intents and purposes, we're at least going to have to wait another 4 months before the Pacers put Turner on the block again.
Right. Or like this one, it's an unusual trade. It's an unusual contract structure. It apparently hasn't happened since Robert Covington did it in 2017. So it's like, I could see why people were a little bit confused. And certainly I didn't have any freaking clue on what the rules would be. So the moral of the story here, though, is, I mean, it serves really as a cautionary tale, I think, for the Lakers, in that better, you know, when Rob Pelinka says we are only looking for a trade that makes us contenders, makes us surefire contenders, he even used the word front runners to describe a kind of trade going into the deadline where they would use the two picks that they have control of now. Again, in the summertime, you have the picks that you have this year's draft pick, you have more things, whatever, but control of the picks they have right now, talking about contender status, front runner status, even good. You know, better can become the enemy of good. And you can continually kick the can up the road on, yeah, this is pretty good, but there's something potentially better if I just wait a little longer. Better if I wait a little longer. And this is the cautionary tale that the thing you think might be there because of how you think the season is going to play out may not.
Well, this was actually one of the big reasons that before the season, I was a pretty big proponent of, I would do this deal. It's not just because I think Turner and Hield, particularly Turner, would have made the Lakers better this season, but it was also because when you were thinking about the teams that would have been in the Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson sweepstakes, and interestingly, that has not played out nearly the way people had predicted at all. But when you were thinking about the teams that it seemed logical for, to me, there was nobody logically with one of those teams that would be on the market that was better than Miles Turner. So my take was always, you're not likely going to do any better than Miles Turner anyway. So if you are serious at all, considering that you would use those two picks, you're not going to do any better than him. So you might as well just do it now.
Yeah, I think they probably fell victim in some degree to the nervousness of saying, if we do this and we do it wrong, that's it. Sure. Look, Miles Turner's been phenomenal this year and Buddy Hield has actually had a great bounce back year.
I'm not a huge Buddy Hield fan, but he's been terrific this year.
Yeah.
He's been
in really terms good. Of, you know, for what the Lakers would need. I mean, I haven't dissected his defensive number, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of like shooting at a level that would justify a lot of the stuff that people would be worried about and inquiring Buddy Hield, he's been great from 3-point range at high volume and would have been transformative in this offense. You know, Turner's been great, but there's a universe where three games in the season, Turner you know, tears a shoulder and, like, you know, healed, slides a little more. And like, it's not, it was not a foregone conclusion that it was going to play out this way. But I agree with you. Like, it probably was as good as they were going to do at the time. It certainly doesn't look like a better, deadline deal is coming. So how do you internalize this if you're the Lakers? Because I will say this, if you are, you know, obviously this one didn't play out the way you thought it would, but that could also mean something weird could happen somewhere else that suddenly makes a player available in the way that I think they hoped it would.
I mean,
if not now, if this summer.
To quote Kobe, the job's not done yet. I mean, there's still time before the deadline and there's still potential opportunities like draft day, or I guess, depending on how things shake out, even when free agency begins. Like, there are opportunities to do something with these limited assets that they have control over in the immediate future, being the two picks right now, Russell Westbrook's contract, you know, I guess to a lesser degree, Patrick Beverley's contract, the draft day pick, theoretical cap space that is created if Westbrook's off the books. Like, there are different things that can happen between now and then, so job's not done yet. But if nothing else, what this does is create more pressure on them to find something good to do, because if these few pivotal dates pass and it doesn't feel like the Lakers did anything of substance, they're going to be fans mad. I think there's going to be LeBron James mad. I think there's going to be Anthony Davis mad.
Yeah.
Because it's going to feel like you just sort of crapped away everything kind of just aimlessly without a plan.
And, you know, yeah, the Hachimura deal is a good one, and I don't have a problem with it. But that I readily admit, was not expecting, the team has shown that it, you know, it is worth a reclamation. It is worth taking an effort, because they have gone toe to toe with every good team in the league. And in a 7-game series, I'm not saying I pick them against Denver. I certainly wouldn't, you know, or Memphis, or, you know, a healthy Clippers team, or definitely not a healthy Clippers team until they break that 10-game lose. Point being, they're competitive and they've shown signs of life and heart and all this stuff.
Often while shorthanded.
And I wonder, and I know the answer to this should be no, but I wonder if, in, you know, a little part of Rob Pelinka was just kind of hoping they wouldn't, because it would make his decisions so much simpler. If it was like, look, the season's too far gone. This team hasn't shown, you know, that's on me. I put it together, but I can't throw good money after bad. Now he has to decide. And
has to get his decisions approved.
And group.
He may not be the only one. He may not be the only one that requires convincing. You know?
The team is not as far away as I think a lot of people, myself included, thought it was going to be from being pretty good. 12 games into the year. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. And we will be back, of course, after Monday's game in Brooklyn. There is certainly a very large chance that both Anthony Davis and LeBron James are back for Tuesday's game at Madison Square Garden. I suspect LeBron, given the choice between playing in Brooklyn, in that arena, I forget what it's called now. Maybe it's always been the same thing. And MSG would prefer to play at MSG, gets the extra day off, all that stuff. But hey, see if the Lakers can steal one like they stole that game against Miami. We'll see everybody on Tuesday.